Amen. Our reading will begin in verse number 1. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version. And it reads, "The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. They were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, 'Mortal, can these bones live?' I answered, 'O Lord God, you know.' Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone, to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." Amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, grab your neighbor by the hand, look your neighbor square in the eye. Look your neighbor square in the eye and say, neighbor,
neighbor,
speak life.
Speak life.
Neighbor,
neighbor,
speak life.
Speak life.
Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, Speak Life. Life, L-I-F-E, life, with an F. The story that we see in reference to Ezekiel, I want you to see that God had blessed Ezekiel. God is the one that who is guiding Ezekiel. Please turn it off. I don't know what it is. God is the one who called Ezekiel to be a prophet. God is the one that allowed Ezekiel to know that he was more than what he thought he was. God is the one who took him from a nothing and made something from him. God is the one that put life in Ezekiel. And now Ezekiel is the one who is on fire for the Lord, because he realizes and recognizes that the Lord has called me to a mighty work, and it is my job to do it to the best of my ability. But then God, Reverend Rose,
yes, sir,
takes Ezekiel to a valley filled with dry bones. And God set him in the valley, showed him around, and he looked all through the valley. And as Ezekiel looked, the more he looked, all he saw was death and dead things. The only thing that was around him that was alive was himself. There was no life in the valley. And as he looked all around the valley, if you don't believe me, let's look and see what God did. After Ezekiel had some time to process all that he had saw, now God taps Ezekiel on the shoulder, Anisha. And God says to him, "Mortal, can these bones live?" So you know what that's telling me? That everything in that valley was what I just already said. Is dead. No life. Nothing lives. All of it in the valley. Dead. Ezekiel has seen it. And then God asked him the question. Ezekiel had a choice, y'all. Because what Ezekiel could have did very easily. Because when he looked around and walked around, all he saw was a whole bunch of dead stuff. And then here God asked him the question. Now, based on the evidence, Ezekiel could have said no. Because if they could live, they ought to be living. Because the evidence shows that everything is dead. So based on Ezekiel and his own ability, if he looks at that which he sees as dead, he very easily could have said to God, "They can't live." But if he had said that, he was basing it on what the evidence is showing him. Thank God we as a church don't ever just make our decisions based on what the evidence is showing us. Because the evidence would say, why do anything? Just stay right where you are. But God had blessed Ezekiel. And when Ezekiel looked at these dry bones, he very easily could have saw that could have been me. But what he realized was that the reason why it wasn't him was because God had touched him. God had took him from death to life. God had turned him around. God has called him to be a prophet to the people of Israel to encourage them during the bleakest time in their history. So when he very easily could have said no, but then he thought about what the Lord had done for him. He thought about where the Lord had brought him from. He thought about how the Lord had turned him around. So when he looked and when he answered the Lord, he said, "Oh, Lord God, you know." Now, his response was what it was, because what he was saying is, "Lord, they can stay dry if that's what you want. Lord, you can heal them and bring them to life if that's what you want." So what Ezekiel is saying is, "God, it's in your hands. I'm not going to try to play God. I'm not going to try to make the decision. I'm going to just be who I am." And that's one of your servants. And say, "Lord, it's in your hands." So once God recognized that Ezekiel was not relying on his intellect. He was not relying on the evidence. He was putting his trust in God, that God can do what he want, when he want, and how he want. Do I got a witness in God's house? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, catch this. Once Ezekiel said, Lord, God, you know. Now the Lord is saying, Ezekiel, I'm going to use you. How many of us are remaining stuck where we are? Because when the Lord has showed us some dry situations and circumstances, and oh, when God asked us, can it change? Can it live? We answered based on the evidence. We answered based on our intellect. And the one thing that we did not include was our faith. And since we based our answer on what we saw, we're remaining stuck where we are. Because the Lord wants to use us to do a great thing. But if all you can see is what you are faced with right now, then you're not allowing the power of God to work in you and through you. You see, and that's why some folk in church get frustrated. We get frustrated because we say, Lord, I'm here. I want you to use me. I want you to have your way in me. And the Lord says, well, good. Well, I want you to go over here and work with the youth ministry. Work with the what? Ain't a whole lot of pitter-patter of a lot of feet running around here. Because I'm going to do a great thing with the youth ministry. Oh, you're going to do what, Lord? I don't see it, so. Nah, Lord, I'm going to go just sit over here for a while. And then we wonder why we're frustrated. Because we're basing what we want to do based on what the evidence is showing us. The evidence is saying that it ain't thriving right now. It's not overflowing right now. So all we're caught up with is what we see. And until we say, Lord, you know, then we remain stuck where we are. Because all we can see is the physical rather than stepping out on the spiritual. We have to always remember, if God can take 5 loaves and 2 fish and feed 5,000, you mean to tell me he can't do great things with us? As I said earlier, if God was able to take Gideon, who came with an army, and whittled them down to 300 people, and they were successful, not because they had swords, but because they stepped out on faith and did what God instructed them to do. The evidence is not the answer. Because the evidence would say that Ezekiel should have very easily said, nah, Lord, ain't nothing happening. But he said, oh, Lord, God, you know. Now the Lord says, I can use you. And then the Lord says to Ezekiel, all right, bro, since you say I know, now I'm going to have you do something. I want you to prophesy to these dry bones. I mean, and when you start prophesying, ain't nobody going to be saying no amens. Ain't nobody going to be shouting back at you. Ain't nobody going to be praising God while you're there, because everything that's there with you is dead. So in order for you to be successful, it's not based on what folks say, not based on their response. You're doing what you're doing because I have commanded you. You're doing what you're doing because you realize, Lord, I wouldn't be here if you hadn't blessed me. I couldn't do what I do if you hadn't blessed me. I couldn't open my mouth if you hadn't blessed me. I couldn't breathe if you hadn't blessed me. I couldn't see if you hadn't blessed me. I couldn't shout if you hadn't blessed me. I couldn't clap my hands if you hadn't blessed me. I couldn't stop my foot if you hadn't blessed me. You see, when I understand how blessed I am, I ain't looking for an audience. All I'm looking to do is allow the Lord to have his way. So here we see. Imagine Ezekiel My mic went out. I'm going to this one. He went out and he's now surrounded by a whole bunch of dry bones. All right, and since he is in that situation, what is taking place right now
is that God is saying to him, you stepped out this far by faith. I need you to go further in your faith. I need you now to just do as I have instructed you. So just think, he's looking around. Ain't nobody looking at him. But he is doing what God is calling him to do. And what God is telling Ezekiel, bruh, you have to speak life. You see, if you want to change something, you can't throw more negative on the negative that has already happened. No matter what caused the bones to become dry, in order for the bones to receive life again, you got to encourage. You have to lift up. You have to empower. You have to excite people to let them know that they serve a mighty good God. Yes, we all made some mistakes. Yes, we all done tripped up a little bit. But the Lord is going to bring you through it. The Lord is going to bless you. The Lord is going to turn it around. The Lord is going to help you pay your bills. The Lord's going to keep you in good health. The Lord's going to keep a roof over your head. The Lord's going to bless your family. The Lord's going to get you through the whatever's in your life. We got to learn how to speak life to folk. We got to stop talking about all the stuff that's wrong and letting folk know we serve a God who can make it right. Do I got a witness in God's house? I tell you, we serve a mighty good God. We got to learn how to speak. So I wanted you to know that once he began to speak life, there was a rattling in the valley. I want you to know, I don't care how one skeleton might have been spread out all through that valley. Once he started speaking life, that skeleton found a way of connecting itself again. All the parts came back together again. Sinews came and connected the bones. And we see that at that point, then flesh came upon the bones. Then skin covered the flesh. And as all this was happening, Ezekiel was speaking life. He was doing what God had called him to do. And I want us all to understand. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't get discouraged. There are times when it seems like all you're doing is speaking, but you ain't speaking to nothing but a whole bunch of dry bones. And what happens is when we think we ain't speaking to nothing but a whole bunch of dry bones, eventually we figure all the heck with it. And sometimes we use a stronger word than heck. Because we feel that I done spent all my time and all my energy and I'm doing all this stuff for you, Lord. And it seemed like ain't nothing happening. It seemed like the bones are getting even drier than what they were. Lord, I just don't understand. I'm getting a little frustrated. It seems that, Lord, the more I do what you're calling me to do, it seems like the more folk dry up on me. Lord, how am I supposed to do what you're calling me to do? I'm doing it to the best of my ability. But, Lord, I don't hear a rattling around me. I don't hear no connections happening around me. All I'm seeing is folk looking all around trying to wait for service to be over. Help me understand, Lord. How am I to do it to the best of your ability? Well, if we want to see change, we got to continue to speak life. I know it might not seem like nothing's happening right now, but keep on speaking life. It is not in our time. It's all in God's time. And I want you to know the Lord's time ain't our time. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts aren't our thoughts. All we got to do is what God is calling us to do. And the Lord will make a way out of no way. Do I got a witness in God's house? You got to learn how to speak. You see, that's the struggle. You know what the struggle is for many of us? Is learning how to speak life. You know, God was using Ezekiel's situation to let him see something. You see, the first time Ezekiel was speaking, I want you to know the bones rattled. Sinews connected the bones. Flesh covered the bones. Skins covered the flesh. But guess what? Everybody in the valley was still dead. After he did all that, everything in the valley was still dead. Rather than just being a whole bunch of dry bones, it was dry bones covered up in some stuff. But it was still dry because there was no life. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. Uh-oh. I'm just thankful we don't have any corpse in our church. I'm just thankful that we don't have folk who are just here just to be here. I'm thankful that we have folk who recognize and realize the awesomeness of the God we serve. I'm thankful that we have people in this place who understand that they wouldn't be where they are if it had not been for the Lord. I'm thankful that we have people in this church that recognize that I don't need you to help me praise God, because I ain't gonna praise God based on you. I'm praising God based on what I know to be true. I'm thankful that we got folk who are in this place who ain't ashamed to say hallelujah. I'm thankful we got some folk in this place who are willing to look to others and say, the God who brought me through is the same God that's going to bring you through. I'm thankful we got people in this church who said, I don't care if you get mad at me, but I got to let you know I serve a mighty good God. I'm thankful we got people in this church who understand that I've been on a hospital bed. They cut my chest open, but I'm still here to talk about it today. I'm thankful we got people in this church who have come a mighty long way. I'm thankful we got people in this church who done been through hell and high water and are here to say, I am still here. I'm thankful we got people in this church that recognize and realize the power of God. I'm thankful we don't have no corpses in this house. But after he did all that, I can see Ezekiel looking at God like, Lord, I heard the rattle. I heard everything reconnect. But Lord, I'm looking around and everything around me is still. But then God says, prophesy to the wind. And as you speak to it, it's going to send the breath that's going to breathe into all them dead bodies and allow them dead bodies to have life. And we're seeing that Ezekiel, who thought it was all going to happen the first time, God said, no, bro, it ain't a one and done. Just keep preaching. And once he kept preaching, the winds came from the north, the south, the east, and the west, and breathed life into all them dead bodies, that they were no longer dead, but they all got up, so that now there was nothing left dead in the valley. And it was all because Ezekiel spoke life as God had instructed him. And he said, and he understood that once I speak life, God will take care of the rest. And then God said, hold up, Ezekiel, come here, let me talk to you, bro. Let me holler at you for a minute. He said, you see how you just did what you had done? The people in Israel who were there with you in Babylon, who were there in exile, who were taken from their homes in Jerusalem through Ephraim, And now they are here in captivity. They now are a people who have no hope because they've been taken away from their homes. And you know what? It happened because the people didn't do as I instructed them. But I don't want the people to be downtrodden. I need for them to understand that life is going to come again. That whatever is happening to them right now, this too shall pass. That it's going to improve one day. And it ain't going to take real long for it to happen. But all they got to do is trust in me. So Ezekiel, just like you spoke to these dry bones in this valley where everything is dead around you, now you're going to go and speak to the people of Israel. Because they are just like these dry bones. And they're going to sit there and look at you. Ain't going to say a word. But that don't stop you from doing what you got to do. because you're not doing it to impress anybody. You're doing it because you know how blessed you are and that I am blessed to be a blessing. So I'm going to go to wherever they are and I'm going to proclaim the word of God to them because I am just like them. I done been through it. I done had it happen, but the Lord lifted me up. The Lord turned me around, and now that he's done that, he's going to use me to do the same for you. So when now that Ezekiel has gone to the people of Israel, he is proclaiming the gospel to let them know that they serve a mighty good God. I know it's rough on you right now. I know it's tough right now, but we serve a mighty good God, and he is going to encourage us. He is going to empower us, and he is going to excite us. So I want you to realize, don't get caught up in where you are right now. The Lord is going to turn it around. Look at somebody right now and say, the Lord is going to turn it around. I know it's rough on you right now, but God is going to turn it around. I know you think you can't see your way through, but God is going to turn it around because our God is just good like that. Do I got a witness in God's house? You see, my brothers and my sisters, our God speaks life to us. We got to be a people that live because God that we serve is alive. Is our God alive? Is he living in you? Then you ought to speak life. You ought to let somebody know how good our God is. Do I got a witness in God's house? Anybody not ashamed to let others know our God is a good God? He is a living God. He is a way maker. He is a healer. He is a deliverer. He is whatever I need him to be. Somebody ought to put their head back and say, hallelujah. You see, if we say we're going to speak life, some folk get it twisted. You know, let me help you understand. If somebody done fell down at the curve, all because of the mistakes that they made, that means that they fell because of their discretions, because of their mistakes. Well, let's just call it what it is, because of their sin. They are right there, kicked to the curb. Now, if we say we're going to speak life to them, we ought not to go over to them and say, you know what, you got just what you. Well, if you hadn't have done A, B, and C, you wouldn't be dealing with X, Y, and Z right now. So you are right where you are because you got just what you. Now, is that speaking life? Is that helping anybody? Is that going to change anything? All you've just done is kick them in the head. You ain't help them. But you have helped them because you're so holy and you haven't done anything like that. So, that being the case, I can't relate to some of the stuff you've done. Hallelujah! Because I'm just so anointed and appointed by God that I could not fathom the idea of ever doing what you've done. That, when we get that high-minded, then we ain't no earthly good to nobody. Because you're walking on the clouds at 30,000 feet. Because you're just so good right now. But what if we was to go back and look at your tape and see you before you started getting up on that 30,000 feet? Let's go back and rewind the tape. Because truth be told, all of us came to the Lord. When we all came to the Lord, we were dry bones. We were in the valley. We were dead in the valley. The enemy was about ready to just take us and pull us on down. But through the grace and mercy of our God, through the price that Jesus has paid, the Lord came in and he stepped in right on time. He took the sins of the world to the cross. They were nailed to the cross. And the way it was sealed was that when they nailed him to the cross, his blood sealed that sin and said that this sin is being covered by the blood of the Lamb, that no one no longer has to go to hell, but everybody who is here on this earth, if
if they confess with their mouths and believe in their heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, they shall be saved. And if you are saved, you know for a fact you got your itinerary ticket, and you know that when you go take flight, you ain't flying down. You gonna fly high up in the sky, because the Lord is gonna call you up to heaven, because you know that the Lord has met you right where you were and turned your life around. And now that you're still here on this earth, it is our responsibility not to have folks stay in the mess, not to rub it in their faces, but to let them know that there is a God who is able to make a way out of no way. There is a God who can bring hope to your situation. There is a God who will bless you and bring you through the whatever's in your life. There is a God who is a provider, maintainer, and sustainer. There is a God who loves you more than you'll ever understand. There is a God who's a mother to the motherless, a father to the fatherless. There is no better friend than him. He is a good shepherd. He is the lily of the valley. He is the bright and morning star. He is the wheel in the center of the wheel. He is our all in all. He meets us in the valley. He takes us to the mountaintop. He takes us and does great things with us. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. And no weapon formed against me shall prosper, because I serve a God who's going to be there with me through thick and through thin. Speak life, my brothers. Speak life, my sisters. Because you know what? You are here because somebody, Phil, spoke life into your life. Brother Tony, they might have kicked you to the curb, but somebody spoke life to you. Brother Smith, I know others have already written you off and already dogged you out, but God spoke life to you. Deacon Rosa Davis, I want you to know God has already healed your body. You are going to be just fine, because we speak life to the situation. Anybody in here going through something? Sister Dolores Williams, I want you to know we speak life to your situation. The Lord is going to continue to heal. The Lord is going to continue to strengthen. Brother Phil, I'm telling you, he's strengthening them lungs as we speak right now. We speak life. Nikki, I know you might not have a practice right now, but we speak it already, and know that the Lord is going to make a way out of no way. We speak life right now, whatever your situation. We speak deliverance. We speak healing. We speak that we serve a God who's going to make a way out of no way. We speak life today. Anybody going to speak life with me? Anybody want to thank him? He is a mighty good God. Somebody ought to praise him right now. Our God is an awesome God. Hallelujah. There is already look all around us, y'all. All through our communities, there's a whole bunch of dry bones, a whole bunch of folk who feel that they have been disconnected and they have no hope. And God wants us to speak life to them, because they need Jesus. Because isn't that what got us through, Brother Clark? Isn't Jesus the answer to our problems? So if he's our answer to our problems, won't he be the answer to their problems? That's why we gotta speak life. Because our God is an awesome God. He's sending us to go out into the valley of dry bones. You see, I want you to know that you have a responsibility today. Because now that you have been blessed, the Lord wants you to be a. And now that you know where to go, and where do you go? Everywhere you go, there's some what? Dry bones. And wherever you find dry bones, it is your responsibility to speak life in that situation. And watch and see what God will do. Nicole, I want you to know that folk might think you're too young, or you just came out your teenage years and you're just now mulling around in your 20s trying to still find yourself. Well, you can let them know, I found Jesus. So since I found Jesus, not because I found him, the reality is he came and
got me. And now that he came and got me, he gonna use me to go get somebody else. Because I know I only can do what I do because I am blessed. And since I am blessed, I have to be a speak life. As we now trek into 2016, on the second Sunday of this year, where we install officers. Officers, I want you to know, if you ain't got nothing good to say about your ministry, maybe you don't need to lead it. Now, I ain't trying to, listen to what I'm saying. Speak life. The evidence says, oh, the heck with it. But you got to see past the evidence. Amen. You got to operate in faith. Mother Austin, I can't believe that you could live to be 94 years old unless you had lived a life of faith. You see, I know being 94, you had some ups, you had some downs, you've had some nights you might have cried all night, you might have had some situations that happened, you've seen some loved ones get called home to glory, but you realize that the Lord spoke life into you, so no matter what goes on in my life, I'm going to speak life to others because I serve a mighty good God. I said, Mother Austin, but truth be told, ain't that true for all of us? We wouldn't be the age we are right now unless the Lord spoke life into us, and we are now speaking life into ourselves and to the lives of those we come in contact with. We want folk to know that there's nothing in this earth that can separate us from the love of God, neither death nor life nor situation nor persecution. I'm going to let the world know I serve a mighty good God. I'm going to lift him up. I'm going to praise his holy name. I'm going to cry it out on the mountaintops. I'm going to cry it out in the valley. I'm going to cry it out wherever I am, because my God is just good like that, and he gave me life, and since I have life, I know I'm blessed, and since I'm blessed, I have to be a blessing. So as the people of God, we have to do what? Speak. We got to get rid of the negativity. It's got to go. Because if the negativity hangs around, all it does is become a hindrance. And as it becomes a hindrance, it isn't comfortable with just putting one little stain on the carpet. It wants to stain the entire carpet. So when we see the negativity come, we got to clean it up right then and there. Because God wants us to speak life. There's already enough talk of death. There's already enough talk of negativity. Turn on the news. It tells you all the stuff that's wrong. How many times does it tell you about how somebody went to help an elderly person to do this or do that? How many times does it tell you about how a family was having financial difficulties and somebody came through and blessed them and paid their rent and gave them a month's supply of food to get them on their way? How many times do you see on the news where a family's car has broken down and somebody came and blessed them with a car to drive? You see, they don't talk about that because that don't sell. Folk want to thrive off negativity. But what we will not do is thrive off negativity. We are going to speak life. We're going to focus on the positive. You see, we're not going to focus on the obstacles, but on the what? Opportunities. We are not going to allow doubt to get into us. We're going to even move ourselves away from our own doubt, because we understand as a people of God, we have to make it happen. I'm blessed. So since I know how to be a blessing, I have to speak. That's what we have to do. Negativity's got to go. Stop hating on people. You wanted to be in charge? Should have put your hand up. Maybe God kept your hand down because you wasn't ready. Maybe if you had been the chairperson, maybe there might be a more drama than what it is. I don't know. But all I'm saying, trust God. If it's for you,
it will come to pass. Because it's not in your time. It's in God's time.